If you struggle with the nice disorder that we talked about in the last episode, you are likely to believe that your rescuing is love, and that by caring or fixing or providing for that other person, you are loving them well. But what you're really actually doing is rescuing them well. And when you're rescuing them well, they are no longer free.
Welcome to Let's Be Real, a completely honest, entirely practical conversation about how to live our lives with freedom, purpose, and abundance. Popular author and communicator Nicole Yunus brings her 20 years of experience as a counselor, pastor, and coach to a real conversation about the tricky questions and tough decisions in life, and how to find clarity and action no matter what obstacle you may face. Have a topic to suggest or a tricky situation you need help with? We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email or voice memo to nicole@nicoleyunus.com. We might feature you on the show. And now here's your host, Nicole Yunus.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is Let's Be Real, and I'm Nicole, and we are talking about boundaries. So if you are just joining us for the first time, first of all, let me say welcome. I am glad that you have found us here on this little piece of the internet. And this is a show where we talk about real life, real issues that are going on, and we try to kind of slow down and figure out what's really happening here and how can I change the way that I'm approaching relationships, situations in my own life in a way that are going to lead me into freedom, into the ability to feel connected and responsible and excited about my life. So if that sounds good to you, you are in the right place. We are in this series on boundaries, and this is our second week. So if you missed the first week, you may want to go back and start there. And I want to let you know also, to help you as we walk through this process together, we've put together a free boundaries assessment for you that helps you understand how and if and how well you are enforcing your own boundaries. So if you want to get that assessment, you can go to my website, nicoleyunus.com/boundaries. So go to my website, put that in, and you'll get that assessment. You can even pause this podcast if you want and take that assessment first so that you're kind of more in touch. What's interesting when you take an assessment like the one we've put together for you is that relationships might just come into your mind like, oh, I am really struggling in this area with my spouse or with my coworker or with my mom or whatever. Like, that stuff kind of comes to mind and it brings this whole conversation into real life. It makes you be able to connect right to it, right where you are. So we talked last week about what boundaries are and how to enforce them, why they're hard to enforce. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit about what some of those red light issues can be. And a red light issue is just simply create a stop sign in your soul. It's like, stop, I need to put a boundary here. We can do this stuff to other people and it can happen to us, but it's a way for us to understand when someone is trying to breach the fence of our boundaries, the things that we've set up that say, you know what, I am entitled to be responsible for my choices, for the way that I use my resources, my time, my energy, my personal kind of engagement. I am responsible for those things. I'm in charge of those things. I am in charge of my own physical space, of my own emotional, mental, and physical health and well-being. And I am responsible for the choices I make that make me a person who is able to engage with my emotions and my love with freedom. So a lot of boundaries are about creating the ability to not be just like sent over the falls by other people in your own emotional space. Have you ever had this happen? Have you ever felt, I'm going to speak now, this is definitely like a parent kind of thing, but have you ever felt like when your child has gotten hurt, it's as if you can feel the physical hurt yourself? You're so connected and tethered to that child in your love that they scrape their knee and it's like you can experience the physical pain of them scraping that knee. And that is love. That is love that we have for other people. But if my child scrapes their knee and it makes me cry and it makes me feel like I somehow am a terrible mother because I allowed my child to scrape their knee, I have lost a boundary there. I have not allowed them to be their own person and me to be my own person. person. Now, this is in no way to say that we're callous or unfeeling or cold toward other people. But when we allow our emotional health to be wrapped up in other people, and we allow their life to determine our emotional health, that is a dangerous game. And we do it with kids all the time. And that's a burden that a kid should not have to bear. If a kid, for instance, let's say that kid scraped their knee and you had such a deep connection to them hurting themselves that your response was fear, and that fear came out in anger, and you grabbed that kid by the arm and that you were like, why didn't you ride your bike the way I told you to? And we all have done stuff like this. But what I've done now is I've put my own emotional response onto a child who just had an accident and was just being a person. When I'm in charge of my emotional world, I may hurt and I may feel, but I don't immediately bust through into another person's yard, their boundary, with my own feelings. And I use the parent analogy because that's an easier one, I think, to understand than it is the way that we will allow other people, other adults in our life to do this to us. It starts usually there, though. And a lot of times we've been raised that way and we've taken that with us into adulthood, which we talked about last week. So if you didn't listen last week, you may want to go back and listen to that part. But what we want to talk about today is this idea of red light issues that create or should raise a big stop in your life where you need to enforce a boundary. This is a behavior in others that create an unhealthy dynamic for both of you. And I think this is really important because a lot of times we can fall into this villain victim narrative where this person that we love now all of a sudden has become a villain who is controlling us and who is making us do bad things. And we think that we're the only ones who are suffering, like we're the victim, when in reality, if you allow yourself to be victimized by a person in this scenario, now I'm not talking about real trauma and violent violations of your life, the kinds of things that we're not in control of that can be a part of people's story. I'm not talking about previous abuse. I'm talking about just relationships where there is some dysfunction between two people. And I want to make sure you know it is not good for the other person either. When boundaries are being violated, it's actually not good for the person who's busting through the boundary, and it's not good for the person who's not enforcing a boundary, because neither person is really being responsible for their own life. And a lot of times, particularly when it comes to boundaries, we can feel when boundaries have been violated, but we often don't realize how we're violating other people as well. Do you know that when you take on people's responsibilities that are their own and you take those on, it's actually not good for them either? And you can just think of a typical example would be a 20-something child who comes back home and they are living under your roof and they are eating your food and they are enjoying the comforts of your home, but they're an adult and they're not paying rent and they're not responsible. And let's say they're looking for a job and there's just not a lot of motivation to look for that job. Well, you look from the outside in and you're like, okay, it seems like this 20-something is taking advantage of their parents' good nature. But on the other hand, isn't it true that it's the parents who are also stealing from that 20-something because they're stealing their own consequences for their actions? And over time, that's going to lead to places that are not good for that child. At some point, that it's, and I call them a child, it's an adult. At some point, that 20-something is going to need to know what it takes to have a mortgage or a rent, to pay your cell phone bill, to understand health insurance, to be responsible for a life so that they can then form a life around those responsibilities and enjoy the freedoms that come from being a responsible person. So even though looking on the outside in, we might think, oh, how dare that kid? How dare that 20-something act that way? We also need to know it's the parents too who are controlling and contributing to that dynamic. So both people, both parties suffer when there are boundaries being violated. The person who violates the boundaries is suffering because that violation is keeping them from understanding their own consequences and their own freedoms and their own responsibilities and how what they sow into the world is what they will reap. That is just a universal principle of the world. You reap what you sow. And when we take away a person's ability to know the consequences of their actions because we rescue or we fix or we take that burden on ourselves, that's actually not good for the other person either, nor is it good for the person who is doing the fixing or controlling or rescuing. So A red light issue are behaviors in others that create an unhealthy dynamic for both parties. Both parties suffer, and this is a huge part of this, because if you struggle with the nice disorder that we talked about in the last episode, you are likely to believe that your rescuing is love, and that by caring or fixing or providing for that other person, you are loving them well. But what you're really actually doing is rescuing them well, and when you're rescuing them well, they are no longer free. They're no longer experiencing the consequences of their own actions. They're no longer given the space they need to make the choices that need to be made. And so in reality, you are not loving them. You are rescuing them. And that rescue is creating a dynamic, a power dynamic between you two that is not free and empowering and loving and respectful. It's actually creating sort of this person, it's a codependent is the word, kind of where you need me to fix you and I need you to be fixed. Like, that is the way that we experience love. And in reality, that's not love at all. It's just not love. It's not the ethic of love set out by Jesus in the Bible. It's not the ethic of love given to us by our Heavenly Father. It's not free. And a lot of times we will get into that situation because we are terrified that if we did not rescue, if we did not fix, then the person will cease to exist or the person will leave us. And if we're not giving them what they quote unquote need, then they'll leave us. And the reality is that might be true. If you're in a kind of dynamic with an unhealthy person, the reality is they may leave you if you stop rescuing them. But you will also leave a prison that you've created that is not actually love. And when we're in that prison, we can't experience empowered, healthy love. Now, a lot of times, you'd be surprised, but a lot of times people don't leave. And there's a lot of hope in this conversation. A lot of times I think we think, oh, an unhealthy relationship that I'm in can't change because the other person won't change. But a lot of times we've never even tried to change. We've never actually tried to express ourselves. And you may find that what feels really unhealthy can grow and be different. And a lot of times, especially in relationships that are love relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, there's a sense, particularly a lot of times it's pushed toward the guy. So I'll be speaking to the woman and she will be like, he's not going to change. And then we get into it and it turns out that the woman in the relationship has never learned what a healthy confrontation looks like, has never learned what it means to actually be clear and honest about what they need. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, when that woman learned how to do that, she then changed the dynamic of the relationship and the guy was willing to grow. So this doesn't have to be like this doomsday, like scary conversation, like every relationship that you're in that's unhealthy is going to go away. Some may, but many, many people will change. Many people will grow once those boundaries are put in place. Okay, so let's talk about the difference real quick between loads and burdens. And I'm using, again, borrowing very heavily from the book called Boundaries, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, just a total like cornerstone work in this area. So helpful. There's a workbook that goes with the book. There is an online resource that goes with this concept called boundaries.me. Super cost-effective membership community where you can get little pieces of boundaries help, like sort of out in 2-minute videos and assessments and all kinds of helpful stuff. So I want to refer you there if this conversation is helpful to you, because boundaries don't change overnight. You're not going to listen to this one podcast and be like, and now I know how to be perfectly healthy and effective in all of my relationships. It's really a process. It's an ongoing work. It's something that might require additional help, like from counseling or coaching. So that is, and oftentimes in my coaching, we are talking about boundaries. At the end of the day, that's what we're talking about over and over again. We may be thinking that we're talking about changes in the workplace or changes to my personal life. But at the end of the day, a lot of times what we're actually talking about is boundaries. And that's what we do in our coaching groups is talk and enforce and encourage those boundaries for each other. So anyway, back to the point, it's a process. It's going to take a while, but here's a kind of a starting point. I love this concept of the difference between loads and burdens that I'm using from the Boundaries series. And the idea here comes from Galatians chapter 5. And in that chapter, there's like 2 really sticky phrases really close together. So the first phrase is, bear each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay. So the idea there is something that you may be very familiar with. Oh, like love means that I carry things for people, that I'm part of their life, that I help them. And yes, that is true. That is love. There are times, that's why we talk about the idea that your boundary is a fence with a gate. And there are times where we open our gate and we allow our energy and our resources to be used on behalf of someone else, because we do have an ethic where we're called to love. But in that same chapter, just three verses away, it says each one should carry their own load. Okay, so we've got bear each other's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Each one should carry their own load. And what I love that Cloud and Townsend talk about in Boundaries is this idea that there is a difference between a load and a burden. And a load is like your own personal responsibilities. Imagine it as a backpack that you wear that is the stuff that you carry. So if you've ever backpacked, if you've ever gone camping, I've been backpacking before, which is really different than camping because you have to carry every single thing that you need for that trip. And so it's a lot of stuff that you got to carry. And when we backpack, you put your own stuff in your own backpack, right? You've got your sleeping bag and your clothes and your toiletries and whatever. You've got your own stuff in your own backpack. That is a load. That's what it means to carry your own load. It's my own stuff. It's my own responsibilities. It's my own choices. It's the way that I spend my life. That is my own load. But when you backpack with a group, there's also a lot of shared burden. There's the food that we need. There's the water that we need. There's like the cooking equipment. Like who's supposed to carry that? We're all going to use it. Those are burdens. And we also have places in life where we have burdens. They're like boulders that are too heavy to lift. They don't fit in our backpack. A boulder or a burden might look like a time where a family experiences a great loss. And as a community, we all make meals for them. Now, if I make meals for someone who is grieving, that's a beautiful thing. If that person 3 years later has an expectation and is dependent on me making all of their food, even though they're capable of making their own food, then I've crossed over and I've started to take their own load onto myself. Now, that may sound uncaring when we're talking about grief, but listen to what I said. When the burden is in front of us, we carry each other's burdens. That is how we fulfill the law of Christ. I'm going to expend and sacrifice myself on behalf of another person. That is love. But when that burden becomes a responsibility that is someone else's responsibility and I keep carrying it, it's the difference between providing shelter for my 17-year-old, a home and a shelter and a room and paying maybe for their cell phone bill and their car. And when I'm then still doing all those things, but my child is an adult who's now 27 and capable of doing those things themselves, then I've crossed over to where I'm carrying their load. So there is a difference and there is an ethic in scripture about loads and burdens. We are responsible for our own stuff. We carry our own backpack. And there are big burdens in life that we face, that we also carry for other people for a time. We work together to carry things for other people when needed. That is also love. Oftentimes, people with boundary issues are confusing what is a load and what is a burden. And they make other, or they're with people, they're in a dynamic with people who create an idea that you're supposed to carry my load too. And that's what love is. And so you've got a person who violates boundaries by making you feel like you need to carry their load. And you have a person who believes that love is carrying that other person's load. Does that make sense? It's a two-way street. Two people are involved in this kind of conversation. So there's a difference, of course, too, in those red light issues between dysfunctional and dangerous, okay? Dysfunctional is we are in a dynamic where I am carrying your load for you and I'm putting other responsibilities on you that are not yours to handle. We have a dysfunctional dynamic. I feel personally responsible, let's say, for your feelings. And I feel like it's my job to take care of your feelings. Actually, it's your job to take care of your feelings. That's dysfunctional. I'm allowing another person to regulate my emotional world, and I'm feeling responsible for their emotional world. I'm making choices that I wouldn't normally make to control their emotional world. Let's say you're married to someone with a temper. And you know that you start to live your life in a way to keep them from getting mad. And so you start to actually violate your own needs. And you think, well, now's, I mean, we need to pay this bill, but he's kind of in a bad mood. So now's not the time. And then the next day is not the time. And then the next thing you know, you're kind of working around the person because you don't really want to flare their temper. So you've started to be controlled by the other person's emotional world. Now, to fairness to the other person, they may have no idea that you're doing that. You may have never told them, hey, when you raise your voice like that, it shuts me down and I want us to be able to have this conversation. You may have never said that. So the person may be unintentionally violating your boundaries, doesn't know that you're walking on eggshells around them because you've never actually dealt with it. That's just dysfunctional. That's a dynamic that can be fixed. Now let's imagine when this crosses over to dangerous. This person has a temper. Some of us have a temper. This is part of life. This person has a temper. You've been walking on eggshells around them. You start to learn a little bit about boundaries. You decide to enforce the boundary. You're like, hey, I just want to deal with this bill. When you raise your voice, it makes it difficult for us to continue this conversation. Now let's say that when you enforce that boundary, which is what you just did, when you enforce that boundary, the person responds with verbal abuse. They actually raise their voice and now they're calling you a name that we won't use on this podcast. And they're like, you name, you're so stupid. Now we've crossed over from dysfunctional to dangerous because now a person is actually attacking your boundary and they're attacking something that is actually healthy and normal. It is perfectly appropriate to say to someone, hey, I want to deal with this, but let's not, I don't want to do it when you're raising your voice and angry. That's perfectly healthy. But when we have experienced, we've put a boundary in place and that boundary has been met with violence. And by violence, I mean an attack on your character, name calling, of course, physical violence, all of those things. Another violent reaction is punishment when a person then withdraws their love and withdraws their relationship from you. That's a very controlling, and I'm going to use the word dangerous because it's dangerous to your emotional health to be in a situation like that, to then sort of not know how that person's going to behave. Dangerous is when a person withdraws and then they insult or criticize you in front of other people as their way of controlling you. So this is a very sort of insidious dynamic that can develop. And oftentimes we get in, and I love the concept of being in a fog. This is a book by Dana Morningstar, if this is familiar to you as I'm speaking. A fog means I feel like I have to stay in a relationship out of fear, obligation, or guilt. And I am operating, I'm morphing myself and changing myself because deep down I have a deep fear of this person. I feel deeply obligated to them. Perhaps they've even put that obligation on me. A very subtle way is of making an obligation in a relationship is I don't know what I would do without you. I would fall apart without you. Here's a very dramatic, you know, I couldn't go on living without you. That's an obligation-based relationship or guilt. So there's a way that a person who violates boundaries can also make you feel guilty about your choices and make you feel guilty about doing things for yourself. How could you not have been here for me? I needed you when all you were going to do was go for a run. So that is when relationships become dangerous because you've lost any ability to have any boundary. And it is a fog because it slowly creeps in a way that you sort of lose touch with reality. You lose touch with what's okay and what's not okay. And oftentimes these kind of relationships are so all-encompassing that you begin to distance yourself from other friendships and other relationships. And these kind of codependent relationships usually exist in kind of a vacuum where there's no other relationships close by. Because if healthy people are close by, they recognize it for what it is, and they are threatening to the person who is violating the boundaries. And that is an ongoing sort of like, hey, nobody understands us. It's just me and you. I need you to be who you define me, you complete me, all of those kind of words that can create more and more of it's us against the world. And when that happens, it is truly a fog because you lose touch with what do I like? What do I want? What do I need? What's okay to like, want, and need? And you kind of can lose that. And this can happen on a spectrum. It doesn't have to be all the way to dangerous. It starts with dysfunctional. And all of us have probably been in a relationship that is dysfunctional like this. We may have just been in a friendship like this, where we had a friend who was like a yes friend, and they were always willing to rescue. And we realized over time, I kind of use this person, you know, like I'm not really there for them, but when I want them to be there for me, they always are. And so I don't really like keep track of what they need or how they're doing. I just kind of always call when I need something. That's a very like on the spectrum on that dysfunctional side. But then all the way down that spectrum continues where it can become on this dangerous side where I have no other relationships outside this relationship. I have no other real relationships. I may have some acquaintances and things. I don't have any real relationships outside this relationship. This person has made it seem like it's not okay to have any other relationships. I don't talk openly about anything going on in this relationship. I don't feel comfortable talking about sort of strengths and weaknesses of this other person. We don't have other people in our lives at all. We have circled out family and friends and mentors. We're not in community. We're not asking or granting forgiveness from one another. Nobody's ever admitting they're wrong about anything. Those are the kinds of dynamics that are like red light issues. And one of the only ways to get yourself out of that fog is to begin to be in healthy relationships as well. Sometimes it's not about just ending that relationship. It doesn't always have to end, but it's about finding a new compass for like, what is healthy? A lot of times if you're in that fog, you've lost the ability to even know what healthy is. And you may need a counselor or a friend or a coach or someone that you're speaking with. And you know what's a real red light issue is oftentimes these relationships, that person who's violating the boundary will not want you to be coached, counseled, or talking with anyone. And they will use fear, obligation, or guilt to make you not talk because they are fearful that they will lose what you are in their life. And on a very sort of all the way on the dramatic spectrum, they really may be a person whose personality is such that they are narcissistic. They do like loom larger than life and believe that you're there to serve them. And boundaries are needed in relationships like that. And honestly, like personality disorders are pretty prevalent. It's about 10% of the world's population. So chances are you have encountered someone like this who seems like they're not interested in changing. They don't think that there is a problem at all. There's a big difference between people who want to change, who maybe have some bad behaviors right now. I think if we go back to that temper situation, there are people who have a really short fuse, who've been raised a certain way, who perhaps they're carrying baggage from their own childhood. They have a temperament where they're quick to respond and they have a temper and they actually want to change. So they have bad behavior in relationships and perhaps there's dysfunction in that relationship, but that person wants to change and they're willing to seek change. And over time you see change happen. That's progress. That's beautiful. That's possible. Then there's people who have a temper who have no desire to change and who are able to say, you made me this way. You made me do it. If you had done this, I wouldn't have done that. And over again, they may make lip service about wanting to change, but you never see any actual proof or evidence of change. They are not willing to seek help. They do not seek out friends. They are not learning or growing. They're not apologizing, repenting, or making progress. They may tell you that they're interested in it, but they're not actually doing anything. That is the difference. There is a huge difference between when we are hurt and hurting and want to change, and when we are hurt or hurting others and we think it's fine. And this goes both ways. It's both people who violate boundaries, but it also can be the person who's having their boundaries violated. We may have such a deep need to want to fix people that we're just going to continue to find unhealthy relationships to fix people in because we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are outside of fixing someone else. And you may have known people like this as well. If they're not fixing one person, they'll find another person to rescue. And when that person tires of being rescued by them, they'll find another person to rescue. It often means that their relationships with their children are really difficult because they want to keep rescuing their adult children, even when their adult children don't need rescuing. So they will find another rescue and continue to live their life where they are getting used really and manipulated. And healthy people that are in those people's lives often feel like they're rejected because they can't actually enjoy that person because they expend all of their emotional, physical resources and all their time on fixing people. And in reality, they don't want to change. And if that's the truth, you can love that person, but they're not going to be able to give you the intimacy, the relationship, the maturity that you wish that you could have from them. And that's part of life is figuring out when people are dysfunctional in the way they relate and they're not interested in changing. What does that mean for me? How will I love this person, but there probably will be distance and there may be expectations that I have for what I want from them that I will not be able to get. So a lot of starting to enforce boundaries is discovering who in my life is willing to change and grow and who is not. And what does that mean for the way that I love them? And what does that mean for the way that I give them myself, of the way that I want to be with them and be vulnerable with them and grow with them? It's going to be different. And all of us are going to face relationships that we so deeply desire to be that relationship, to be that person for us. And we may discover they are not able or not willing to be different than how they are. And then we have a choice to make, and it is ridiculously our choice to make. We are 100% responsible for the way we proceed in a relationship like that. You do not have to live in fear. You do not have to live in obligation. You do not have to live in guilt. That is not God's design for your life. There is a huge difference between bearing each other's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ, and each should carry their own load. So I want to invite you in your relationships to think about, am I carrying someone else's load? Or am I trying to get other people to carry my load? I am the person responsible for my emotional health. I am the person responsible for my peace. I am the person responsible for my choices. I am the person responsible for the way that I live my life. Am I taking that from other people onto myself? Or am I giving myself away to others, trying to get them to be responsible for my life? On both sides, becoming stronger in your boundaries is about creating a life of freedom and joy for you and for the people who love you. It's about creating safety for you and for the people in your life. All right, you guys, we will talk next week about actually practicing the words that come out of our mouth that make us able to live with boundaries. Talk to you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Be Real with Nicole Yunus. We'd love to hear from you. Have a topic to suggest or a tricky situation you need help with? Send us an email or a voice memo to nicole@nicoleyunus.com and we may feature you on the show. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode.